Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are on End Times Friday, and this will be airing, I believe, November the 14th. Mm-hmm. And lots of stuff going on in the world, for sure. Both, it's interesting, you know, as we look at the purpose of what we're doing is to just highlight the correlation between what the Word says and current events.
Right.
To give some heads up. And the only purpose of it is we don't want to have people listen and say, well, tell us what to do. But rather, we just want to present what the Word says. Mm-hmm. Be careful. We have to be careful. And we urge everybody to be careful, particularly when you're talking about prophetic and end time stuff, is we have to be careful not to be too, let's say, I believe this means this, and therefore you should see. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible, particularly about the end, which a lot is written about the end. It's kind of interesting.
Right.
And Jesus spoke about it a lot, that it's purposely written so that you can't really do that. Mm-hmm. And it's so clever that every generation, including the disciples and the early church,
right,
were under the thought of he's coming back. He's coming back pretty quick, see. This could be it. And they're looking at Scripture, mm-hmm, and they're interpreting their current events with, you know, here's what I believe to be true. And we actually, I don't know if you remember this, when we were talking with a good friends, Eric and Rabbi Ephraim from Israel, we asked a question to Rabbi. Do the people of Israel understand the thought of maybe this is coming to the end and a real Messiah is going to be now coming, which, you know, in our view of it is that they'll come to the awareness that Jesus is, that he is the Messiah, that he already had come once. Because of what Scripture says, see, Israel will become the banner of Christianity. Mm-hmm. So they do receive that at some point along this path here. But we ask them, you know, do they understand it? He said they would like to, but because of past events, which was the Russia, what they call the pogroms that were, you know, coming against the Jews, and then Hitler with the Holocaust coming against the Jews, they were certain, mm-hmm, that this was it and the Messiah was coming. And because they were so certain, and then it didn't prove to be true, mm-hmm, they basically, he said, they don't allow themselves to think that this could be it. So they purposely just, yeah, maybe, but nah, I don't want to spend any time. I don't want to be disappointed. Again, you know, it's kind of interesting. And a little bit is, you know, how the typical American would function on the end is that, well, it's 2,000 years later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know all that this written is. Revelation is so complicated.
Right.
That, you know, one, I don't have the time to really get into it. You know, yeah, it's, mm-hmm, nice that people can tell us once in a while. And two, that, why bother? Because, mm-hmm, and there's an interesting thing that has been developed in along with that is that, you know, it's, you know, generation after generation have always thought it was their generation and it wasn't. So I'm not even going to concern myself with it. You know, why bother?
Right.
And then on top of it, I keep being told we're going to be raptured pre-trib anyway. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to be raptured and I don't go through any of it,
why do I need to bother? Yeah.
Then I really don't need it, you know, and this is where we urge people to look at that. What the Word says is, see, you and I can't with any certainty say the rapture occurs at this time. Mm-hmm. Okay, why not? Well, what you and I do is we look at the Word and say, well, this is what it says, and this is all that it says.
Right.
And because of like the rapture, there's so many different verses that could imply, mostly, by the way, it implies mid-trib, post-trib. Mm-hmm. Rapture, there's really only a couple that maybe if you stretch it could be pre-trib. Mm-hmm. But what we say is since it isn't clarified 100%, the rapture is going to occur right before the beginning of the tribulation. If it says that in the Bible, I'd be the first one to jump up and say, this is what it says.
Right.
It doesn't say that in that clarity. So all you and I can do is say, well, here's what the word says. It doesn't specify it to that level.
And there's a reason it doesn't specify.
And there's a reason. So don't try to, in other words, mm-hmm. just say, okay, that's all it says. And I believe it's purposeful so that the reliance that we have has to be on him as we walk with him, particularly when we start observing these things that are happening, you know, today in our life. Mm-hmm. And again, if you look at, again, the purpose we have is that because of all these things happening, we could see the formation of the possibility now that these things are very, very possible. And they're becoming more possible. Now, again, Jesus said, don't try to predict the timing of it because only the Father knows. He said, I don't even know. The Father knows, mm-hmm. you know. But he did say, Jesus said, I did want you to watch the sign. He told John and all the followers, I want you to really study Revelation. Mm-hmm. Now, why? Well, first of all, it's going to happen at some point in time. And if it happens in your generation, you really need to be able to be ready for it. Two is I really want you to get to the depth of it so that you can teach your children. Think of your children as your own physical children, but also your spiritual children is I need to help them understand it so that as they then teach their next generation mm-hmm. and every generation gets taught to pay attention, spend time on this.
Right.
Look at what the truth says and I'll guide you into it. That's our purpose of it is to keep putting it out there because of the stuff that is happening today, that it all points toward it could happen in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. In other words, the conditions that say what will bring on the end are being met today and could therefore trigger it, knowing that, you know, we could another 50 years from now, 100 years from now, they're thinking the same thing, you know.
Right.
And then two, on top of that, and probably even more importantly, is that because of the dynamics of our economy and the dynamics of our culture, the one message we would like people to understand is even if this isn't, quote, the end, mm-hmm. things are changing so dramatically that we need wisdom on our view of that. And how does that impact me? We're going to talk about AI, for example, this time and next time. Well, that's a big deal mm-hmm. that it's having gigantic impact on the way believers approach their relationships with Christ and with the church. And so regardless of, is this the end or not, we do know it's here. AI is here and there's danger with that.
Right.
And even if we're not in the end, but we got to process that, we got to make sure that danger doesn't impact us in our lifetime today. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the purpose of it. And, I don't know if you have any other thoughts or understanding of why this is such an important thing that we do, with providing this on a weekly basis.
Yeah. From my standpoint, one of the things that I always come back to, which we've talked about, is, you know, yes, we're called to watch the signs. Yes, we're called to pay attention. And yes, we have this world to navigate. And when we're navigating it with God, guess what? People see Jesus.
Yeah.
And isn't that the end game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the big picture of it all, whether we're truly in the quote unquote end times right now, or, you know, things are just moving along, we are closer to that. And by the way, we are in somebody's end times right now. And that somebody may or may not know Christ. And so the exclamation point to me is always the pay attention, walk with him. And in walking with him again, as he leads us, we have opportunity after opportunity to be light and to show others what life with him is like. And that matters in the big picture. That matters for eternity. That matters for that one person that you may be put in the path of. And so paying attention actually has eternity at hand, as well as how we navigate living in our Babylon right now, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, today, you know, and the topic for this next couple of weeks is going to be about deception. And we'll define what that looks like, because it's very important as we enter into, and this is, in a sense, is true for any age, you know, is that it's easy to be deceived. And the only opposite of deception is truth. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? You know, so anyway, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12.
Sure. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with his breath, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness."
So he says that, you know, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and then our gathering together with him. So again, that would be the rapture. Mm-hmm. So it's the coming of Jesus and us being taken up when he says that in verse 3, it says, "Let no one deceive you by any means." Mm-hmm. If you take that just on its surface, "let no one deceive you by any means," it implies that the possibility of deception is real.
Absolutely.
And that there are lots and lots of means that can deceive you.
Right.
And he said, don't let anyone or anything, you know, deceive you. Let no one deceive you by any means. And then he talks about that at the end, when the day comes, that the man of sin is revealed, that's the Antichrist, opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, and that is worship. And then he sits, you know, in the temple of God and in the Jerusalem and says, "I am God." Mm-hmm. And he said, lawlessness is already working, and the only way that it'll fulfill it is when one who is restraining him, which would be the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. Now, that's one of those verses that, and this is where a little bit of a misunderstanding of the process of when we think the Antichrist in our thinking, because of the way it's been portrayed, is revealed at the beginning of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the Antichrist, and he's taken over, and the world's, you know, accepting that. Well, actually, it doesn't happen that way, that the beast is first formed up, and the beast would be one world government, and that one world government then has 10 heads, and so they're comprised of some corporate structure where there's 10 heads that make decisions together for the world, and everybody has accepted both the one world government and the one economic system, which is, has to be now a common currency, let's say just a common currency or a way of exchange together. But the beast is formed up. The Antichrist actually isn't one of those 10.
Right.
He is a one level below that. So he's there and he's functioning as a part of it, but not as an official part of the 10. During the first 3.5 years, that Antichrist steps up and 3 of the 10 are basically either resign or, and probably it's some kind of a resignation, because it doesn't appear that it's like, ooh, that was a shrewd, awful political move. It was, okay. And then the Antichrist steps in to be now one of the 7.
Right. And you talked about that last week a little bit, based on Daniel 7, if anybody missed that episode and wants to go back to see where that comes from scripturally.
Yeah. And then 7-5, 3-2-1. So during the first 3.5 years, the beast is the one world government. And then the person of the Antichrist steps into power during that time and ultimately now gets associated with the beast. In other words, I was part of the beast and now I am the head of the beast. And so I'm called the beast. You see how it goes? Is that people think, well, the beast is the Antichrist. Well, ultimately, yes, but that's not how it starts.
But not in the beginning. Okay.
Right. So he said when the beast, you know, the Antichrist is now steps into power, you know, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, which the verse here could be, well, is that pre-trib or maybe it's mid-trib, that we're still here during the first 3.5 years. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit is taken. And by the way, the only one left of the Holy Spirit on earth are Israel and Jews. And they're the ones that come to know Christ, as we were just discussing. They actually come to know Christ.
And carry the banner, really.
And they carry the banner. And the banner at that point, see, isn't really what we would typically call evangelism. It's more protection of, because God's wrath is coming and we're focused on being saved. So think of this interesting picture that God has already given us with Pharaoh and Moses, is that the Jews were there and what was brought upon them in their land was plagues. And with the purpose of Pharaoh, let us go.
Right.
You know, and of course,
and
his
opportunity
heart,
after opportunity.
Yeah,
right?
And his heart got harder because he rejected the word. Well, the plague came. The Jews were there. The Egyptians were there, and the only ones that were protected were the Jews,
right?
Because they followed and believed in God. And so, did they experience the plague? Yes. Did it personally hamper them? No, because they were protected. But there was no thought of telling the other Egyptians, you know, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be protected as well. The only focus was on me being protected.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen at this time when God brings his wrath. In other words, he's going to bring more serious plagues on earth. And the only ones protected is Israel. And the focus isn't on telling the rest of the world you should believe in Christ or believe in God. It's just because we believe in Christ and we believe in God, we are going to be protected during that time and then ultimately go in, you know, go into the millennium.
So at that point, would you say, do you think there are still people that turn to God, or is this where he sets in, where this talks about, you know, a strong delusion, God gives them a strong delusion and basically what they've chosen. What is that?
And we'll talk about that further because it's both during and before that time and during that time is that in the second half of the tribulation, remember tribulation is 7 years. So the second half of the tribulation, God brings his wrath and it goes from, you know, think of the first 3.5 years as the beast is getting put in power and the Antichrist steps up. It appears that the world is having exceptionally blessed times, economically, culturally, everything just is like, man, this is it. You know, we got there. This is the way life's supposed to be. And it's blessed beyond measure, economically, particularly. Then God, you know, brings his wrath and brings these awful things against the entire world.
Right.
Okay, now it says during that second half that while he brings that, he actually has angels come to the earth and announce, repent. If you repent, you know, I'll release these things. Okay, guess what? How many people?
Happen.
Nobody. See, nobody. The deception is so deep that they still think that the problem is Israel's God. And if we can get rid of Israel, then we'll get back to what we experienced during that first 3.5 years. And it's so deep. I mean, and you would think there would people to say, this isn't working too good. Maybe we should.
Right.
They don't. They just think
they've
been.
I wonder, during those first 3.5 years, are there still people coming to Christ in that time?
It implies that there will be opportunity for during that time that people can certainly repent and come to know Christ during that time. And that's mm-hmm. partly why likely we're still here. And not only are we working, getting through the tribulation, because remember, it's mm-hmm. going to be an economic system that we won't participate in, but we'll be helping people process, which actually we'll get into next time, because he says that why were they deceived? And he makes a statement because they did not receive the love of the truth. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that because it's purposely, he didn't even say because they didn't just receive the truth. They didn't say that. Mm-hmm. He said the love of the truth. Huh. That's interesting. We who are of the truth, and in other words, we love the truth and we there represent the truth. We are going to invite people to that. Is right. that, and because we'll still be able to present that truth because we're not going to be deceived. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep talking about, no, that what you're experiencing here is not really the truth. And there'll be people that will respond to that. Now, right. it won't be the primary focus because now we're in a position where we've got to make it through mm-hmm. That period where the world has changed, moving into the one world government.
Right.
Again, I just want to highlight we talked last time about the digital coin, is that when that happens, there is one world government, and the WEF, the World Economic Forum, has stated their goal is to do a great reset, called the Great Reset. And the reset is a restructuring of government for the purpose of the good of the people. That's what they say.
Right.
And their goal is 2030. And again, we can't say for sure that's the timing, but they certainly have that as a goal, is to have one world government in place. And the one world mm-hmm. government would have to function with a common currency, which is, we talked last time about the central banks
right.
are establishing a digital currency that will go across borders.
Right. A stable coin. Yeah.
A stable coin that will be the coin or the digital process mm-hmm. so that no longer will there be a dollar and a yen and a euro. It'll all be replaced by a new digital system mm-hmm. that will be common. And that economic basis, which seems appealing, is that it won't what they call float and the value of it go up and down relative to each other. It'll just be it. That'll be it. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be driven by pure economics. Mm-hmm. of who can do things the best. And next week, we're going to talk about part of the commonality is about this technology called AI and quantum computing mm-hmm. that changes the system, which allows for the digital currency to be, quote, stable. And there's a way for people to enjoy life without competing with, in essence, the essence of cost of things. Because wow. it'll all be established. So it's really going to be interesting. So, and what we're going to keep pursuing here is deception. Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between deception and truth? We'll come back to this verse and then look at it later. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us understand that there will be deception, particularly toward the end. And you're calling us to have a heart for truth. And so we just encourage all of us to seek that by seeking you, abiding in you, and knowing that we don't have to be deceived by any means. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions, which as we talk about some things, I'm sure some questions are coming up. Send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.